Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome, everyone, to Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm so excited to be here with my good friend, John Mills.
Me so excited too, Matthew Rushing. Can't wait to talk about what we're talking about today.
Oh, I'm so excited to have Jar Jar. Jar Jar, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Me so happy to be celebrating this fine new holiday with two Star Wars fans who don't want to eat me.
Well, no. Gungan is rather stringy, not really good meat, but that's right. Today, we are here to celebrate the first annual Thanks Gungan. And yes. The reason is, John, I think there's a lot as Star Wars fans this year, specifically here in 2016, to have been thankful for.
I completely agree, Matt. Like, I think that this time of year, we tend to flop between the scary holiday and the joyous holiday, and we forget the thankful holiday. And I think that Thanks Gungan is a great opportunity for us. It's very easy as fans. We love to go in depth with things. We love to talk about stuff. We love to really dig down to the nitty gritty. But man, it's really, I think there has been so much that's happened in Star Wars fandom to just be thankful for. Let me start off right off the gate. Let me just throw out there on the table just the simple fact that there's enough for us to talk about that's new that powers a show like ours, as opposed to having to like dissect, you know, six movies from the past over and over again. We have new stuff being thrown at us all the time.
No, I completely agree with you. I have to say that one of the things that I'm loving is, and it's been happening in the show a few times recently for us, the way in which Rebels is causing us to go back and talk about subjects, you know, whether it's Jedi and things like that with the Bendu that happened this year, or, with the Mandalorians, we just had that episode, you know. So I think those things, for me, I've got to say right up front, I'm thankful that, one, Rebels has been fantastic season three here. And two, you know, we had the wrap up for Rebels last year, season two in 2016, and that was fantastic as well, except for spinning lightsabers.
Don't, do not talk ill. I am very thankful for helicopter lightsabers, my friend, because helicopter lightsabers are awesome. They are everything that I love and adore about the whimsical stuff in Star Wars. Like to see somebody flying with a lightsaber. Are you kidding? If you turn back the time machine to six-year-old Kessel Junkie sitting there, and somebody looks at you and says, there's going to be a double-bladed lightsaber. His eyes open wide, and he says, really? And they can fly with it. Like, I would have passed out. Like, it's seriously, I would have just passed out right there at 6 years old and been like, oh, it's too good to be true. I love helicopter lightsabers. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned them, because they are definitely one of the things I am most thankful for in 2016. Right up there with, and I'm going to piggyback on your note about Rebels. Rebels finally getting its S together. Finally becoming, they're still not quite there where I want them to be. But season three so far has found the balance that I wanted in the previous two seasons between fan service and new stories. And they've figured a way to make everything relevant with each other. And that I'm very thankful for as a Star Wars, because again, go back to 6 year old Kessel Junkie and say, well, you know, there's going to be a Star Wars cartoon on every week. That's not Ewoks or droids. He's going to be pretty thrilled about that prospect right there.
I completely hear you. And I think the show, like you said, it's just continued to get better and better. I think they've really given us so much to enjoy about the show and that's one of the things that I'm loving. They're adding a lot to the mythos of Star Wars as well with this season. I can't really think of an episode that I have watched this season with it where I've been like, eh, you know, like a true meh. That hasn't been here this season so far. So I'm beyond thankful for what Rebels has been giving us. And I think part of it, I've been really thankful that they're digging into some of those unanswered questions from the Clone Wars that we had. And, you know, John, you and I are such huge fans of that show.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that we're connecting this universe, as well as maybe, you know, leading up to something that I think we're both going to be thankful for, Rogue One.
Please. Again, you know, just like the TV show thing, you know, go back to my childhood, your childhood, anybody's childhood who's been a Star Wars fan, and say you're going to get a new Star Wars movie every year. I mean, come on. You would have dissolved into just, you know, a puddle of joy at that moment, as would I. And it is... You know, I am extremely thankful that we are in a time period for Star Wars where there is, with this connected universe, having lived through the first expanded universe, that there is a sense, even though I might not like everything that they do, even though there are miscues, there are missteps, it's going to be true of anything. But the idea that there is this real sense of quality control that's going on, I don't know if that has to do with Disney threatening everybody at Lucasfilm and saying, get this right, guys, or, you know, we're going to wipe out everybody. You know, like Lucasfilm has always been good about quality control on the whole. You know, like that, you know, they got a good grade for that on the whole, but it really seems like, even though there are downsides to it, Disney's a company that has really figured out how to navigate that connected universe world in a lot of ways. And I think that there's just really something nice about what's happening in terms of, especially, I mean, I still remember reading a book from the 1990s and they got the color of Luke's lightsaber blade wrong. And it was a post Return of the Jedi book. And just, how do you miss that? How do you not catch that, guys? And I don't catch those sorts of things anymore. You know, that's good. That's good.
No, I think you're right on target with that, John, that there's been a real sense, I think, for the most part, of quality that's come. Now, I will have to say the place where, for me, I think some of that shows up the most that references some of the old legends things is most likely in the comics realm. But for the most part, you know, I've enjoyed the comics. I liked the Kanan comics that ended this year. I think the end of the Darth Vader series was really interesting. I liked the last few issues of that a lot. We got the Anakin and Obi-Wan comic, which was, I think, the interaction between those two characters was fascinating. The comic itself might have suffered just a little bit for me as the what was happening beyond the character interaction, but that stuff was good. And hands down, I didn't think I'd say this, but you know what I'm thankful for the most in comics? The Han Solo series. That thing
really?
Has been awesome.
Well,
so good.
That's great. Okay. So since we're giving thanks and, you know, you're citing the comics and all of that sort of thing, let's say somebody hasn't read any of the comics yet. What are your number two choices? They got to go out. They got to read this. If you're a halfway Star Wars fan, it's going to turn you into a diehard. And if you're a diehard, it's going to send you home happy.
I would say that, this didn't come out this last year, but the three series, if you haven't read any, I would say Lando.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Shattered Empire.
Yes.
And Han Solo have been my favorites so far. Really great stuff. So I really encourage anyone to pick those up. I think any fan is going to get joy out of those series. So, yeah, great stuff. You know, it wasn't even comics, John. We got some good books this year. Not a lot of books, but we got some good books this year.
Well, I'll tell you what book didn't make my list of things that I was thankful for, and that was Aftermath Life Debt. The less it's said about that, the better. But you want to talk about being thankful for a Star Wars book coming out. For me, Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodline was hands down just the fangasm that I had been looking for like ever since Dark Disciple came out. But even more than Dark Disciple, because it actually gave real weighty background to everything that happened between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. And I think I actually understand that era quite a bit based on one single book. I mean, I cannot recommend that book highly enough. Are you there? Was Bloodline your number one or was Ahsoka?
You know what? I will say that Bloodline was number one for the exact same reasons that you mentioned. It's a beyond phenomenal book. Beyond phenomenal. To me, it was everything that I had kind of been wanting and hoping for, wishing, hoping, thinking, and praying. Finally got the Star Wars book, my dreams.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to be listening to that song for a week yeah. now.
Yes, in your everything you're saying about it is absolutely right. It's just a phenomenal book dealing with the actual aftermath and what's happening with all of these different characters. But on top of that, I did really enjoy, especially as a huge fan of the Clone Wars and Rebels, I think Ahsoka was fascinating, and I'm hoping for more. I mean, so that's the thing. Both of those books made me want more Ahsoka books and more by Claudia Gray.
Yeah.
Let's hope that 2017 leads to both of those things.
You know, I did not respond to the Ahsoka book as well as you did, but I will say that I'm glad that it came out, and I am glad for the fact that it was an attempt at the very least. I think that spark has been struck. I agree with you that we could see more Ahsoka books down the way, and if it leads to that, then it's, you know, even higher marks than what I might have given it out of the gate, because there's just absolutely, you know, so much story to tell with that character that I think are, you know, it's wonderful. Let me say also something else that I'm very thankful for is the fact that I can walk into Toys R Us or Target or any store and there's a Star Wars aisle. And it's there all year. And I can just walk in and I don't look like a complete sicko walking into Toys R Us, because I can walk in with my Star Wars shirt on and say, oh, no, I have a reason to be in the toy store. Yes, I do right now. And go, and I can see, even if it's just window shopping, it really is reliving those glory days. Back when, you know, the Star Wars flowed freely and you could walk in and you could see, oh, look, there's a Darth Vader on a Return of the Jedi variant card. Perhaps I'll purchase that today because it's on a different card. And you can see now Kylo Ren on packaging from the, you know, the Rogue One era versus the packaging from the Force Awakens era. And you can see all of these new things, even if, because as
just, yeah. I'm just geeking out, thinking about my adventure just yesterday. I was at the store looking at the Star Wars aisle.
Exactly.
So I'm right there with you.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing. We are getting these amazing toys that are based on, and I've said this a billion times, okay? So I know I'm repeating myself, but Rogue One, because as we record this, it hasn't come out yet. If I walk into that theater, even if I hate that thing from minute one to minute whatever, however long it is, the ship designs and the new toys that came out of it, I'm going to buy them anyway. They're already on my Christmas list. I mean, the U-Wing? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Like,
what can I say? I already have the U-Wing in Lego form. It's sitting right behind me. So, no, I'm right there with
a
you.
A million and times over.
You know, one of the things I'm also thankful for is that it still isn't perfect, but the distribution this year from Hasbro has been better than it was last year.
Yes, it has.
And I think that the character selection has even been better as well. And, John, I'm just going to show it to you. Nobody's going to be able to see it, but they're going to be able to go purchase it if they have one from their local Hot Topic. But the Ahsoka pop figure came out this year. So thankful for that. She's right there on my desk.
That is pretty cool, man.
That and the entire Rebels crew is coming out in pop figures. So
Zeb,
we're talking about collectibles. It's been a great year for collectibles.
Wait a minute. The Rebels crew is going to be Hot Topic only?
No, it's not going to be Hot Topic only. You'll be able to get those anywhere. You will have a couple of exclusives. There is a Sabine with her helmet on. And then the only other exclusive that is out there is the Ahsoka from Hot Topic. But you'll be able to get everybody else, Ezra, Kanan, Rex, Hera, Zeb, and Chopper all out there. It's going to be fantastic. They're supposed to be coming out sometime in November. So hopefully by the time, John, Thanks Gungan episode drops, they'll be next to my Ahsoka.
You know what? We keep saying thanks Gungan. I'm going to say right now that I'm actually thankful for the Gungans. Do you know why?
Because of just how much fun they are?
Well, not just how much fun they are, but I think that they were the shot in the arm. They have wound up being the shot in the arm that has paved the way, especially for people who didn't like the Gungans, or Jar Jar in specific. They've paved the way for more whimsical stuff to come into the Star Wars galaxy as it's being, you know, sort of reimagined and everything. The Gungans, if you will, forgive me for saying this, but BB-8 or even Finn's antics in The Force Awakens, the Gungans paved the way for that. Because if everything had been really super serious and dour before that moment, I think people have a different reaction to both Finn and BB-8. I think that the Gungans broke ground for good or ill, regardless of whether you like the Gungans or you're a terrible person. I think that they really paved the way for funnier characters to come into the Star Wars galaxy and exist in the movies that, you know, like The Force Awakens, that are embraced.
No, I kind of agree with you. In fact, you know, when I think back to Return of the Jedi, there's that scene where it's just the landscape shot of Tatooine and Jabba's palace at dusk, and the little alien sticks out his tongue and grabs the other one, and there's that sound. You know, that kind of whimsy, I completely agree with you, and those kind of things have continued. And I think you're right. To have a character who, you know, like Finn, is much more of a comedic character right up front. That's who he is. You know, I think you said it even when we first reviewed way back in the day last year, the Force Awakens. You said Finn was much more of kind of almost that Jar Jar type character. You know, he is kind of the court jester of the story in some ways. And that's not a bad thing. He adds that levity to the story. And I'm right there with you. I think, being thankful for Gungans is not a bad thing at all. And, I think we said at the top of the show, the fact that we have so much to be thankful for, because Star Wars is not stagnant, is fantastic. Because, you know, there are a lot of series out there that I'm fans of, you know, that I love different genres of geekdom out there, but they're not really giving me anything that's super current as much as Star Wars is. And so I'm thankful that for the most part, the quality of what we're getting has been great.
Well, and it's also reinventing itself for the modern era. There are things like the X-Files that came back, and I was a big fan of the X-Files back in the day, so I feel completely justified to kick it right now. The X-Files, after its second movie, which was so awful, when it came back, it didn't adapt for the times. It kept trying to be that show from the 1990s, but in six episodes in the modern era. Star Wars has found a way to come back and be what people love about Star Wars, while at the same time occupying the modern space and reinventing itself in such a way where it says, okay, we're what you love, but we're going to deliver it to you in the manner that you're accustomed to now, as opposed to treating everything as if it were 1980 or even 1999 again.
I think for the most part, there has been a way of trying to take everything that happened in Star Wars through the 70s, 80s, then, of course, through the prequel era, Clone Wars, Rebels, all of it's done in a way that's continuing to try and be familiar, but also hopefully push the boundaries and continue to do things in a way that still feels, for the most part, fresh. And I think that's the thing that, for me, I really, again, going back to something we already said I'm thankful for, Rebels, where I feel like there is this mixture of old, new, legends, you know, canon, all of this stuff, trying to put together a show that feels fresh and enjoyable. And I think that's the thing that's going to keep Star Wars going for a very long time, is if they can continue to find that balance.
And I hope they continue to find that balance with an Obi-Wan movie. But, you know, hey, if wishes were fishes, we'd all cast yeah. nets, right?
Another thing I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Great casting of Lando in the upcoming Han Solo
film. Oh, my gosh, you're right. Yeah.
Fantastic casting.
You know what? And the thing is, that branches into, I think that there's been fantastic casting overall. Again, Rogue One has not been released, but the simple clips that I've seen of Orson Krennic, that was well cast.
Yes.
I can tell you, regardless of what you thought of The Force Awakens overall, the new cast that they brought in, I mean, come on. Daisy Ridley is a treasure. You know, and you have all of these other people that were brought in that are brand new that are just phenomenal. They're good actors. They're charismatic. It comes across. And you want to cheer for them and root for them, even though they're inhabiting this space that, I mean, look, Adam Driver, regardless of what people want to say about what they liked or disliked about Kylo Ren, brought it to that performance. I completely believed him. That is a very stark contrast from some of the casting that occurred, and I am not ragging the way that other people do on, you know, the casting for main parts or anything like that. But look, the kids that were brought in when Anakin was, putting his pod racer together, there's a reason that got re-edited when the Blu-ray came about. You know, just saying. You know, they might have recombined some things. The casting for these new movies, they are getting some serious, serious talent. And again, referencing Rogue One, bringing back the actress who is going to play Mon Mothma in Episode 3, but got cut, so you didn't even see her. But saying, you know what, that's who Lucas wanted, we're going to bring her back. That's attention to detail, man, that you don't typically get in casting. That is just great stuff.
Wow, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I almost forgot, but that is a huge thing that I am thankful for in Rogue One, is bringing her in as Mon Mothma, because, you know, that deleted scene of the Senators of 2000, you know, and you know what they were trying to do with Palpatine. I was so sad that all of it got cut out, because it was great character development for Padme. I thought it was great character development for Bail and Mon Mothma, of course.
Yeah,
they made a big deal about Mon Mothma was going to be in the film, yep. And then she wasn't.
Stupid Bi-Ling and her Playboy spread.
But now that she's back in Rogue One, the gravitas of the character,
yep.
Just the few lines she has in the trailers is enough to give me chills. And so it that's one of the things, and no, I haven't seen the film, but for me, I'm thankful that this movie has captivated my imagination already by connecting with the Clone Wars, by bringing in Saw Gerrera and legitimizing that. I think, even before seeing the movie, I'm already very thankful for that.
Oh, sure. I mean, it gives the weight and the respect to Lucas that any longtime fanboy, like the two of us, I mean, here we are, you know, 40 episodes, technically 41, into this show. I think it's pretty well established that we have a distinct love and admiration for Lucas as an artist, and we always will. And to see an embrace. Like, Rogue One is, I will say I'm thankful for the fact that there seems to be a reversal. They worked too hard when The Force Awakens came out to, quote unquote, distance themselves from Lucas because of everybody's grudge held about the prequels. I am so glad that they have reversed course and said, no, you know, we really were just saying that to get everybody in. Yes, he is the one who is responsible for all of this, and his creations are a good, you know, I know I'm sort of overstating it, but I think that you and I are simpatico in that, where the whole marketing campaign and the whole structure of Rogue One ameliorates any of the bad blood that was generated for hardcore fans like ourselves when The Force Awakens marketing campaign seemed to be centered around the fact of screw Lucas. And this one is more around the lines of, okay, no. We don't really mean that. We just wanted to get everybody to sit in the theater.
Yeah, I feel like I'm also thankful for that campaign as well with Rogue One, because it, in like you said, instead of kind of feeling as though it is a screw Lucas, it feels more like an embrace of Lucas, and because it's an embrace of all of Star Wars, you know, PT, OT, everything in between. And to me, that's what makes Star Wars so good. It's this wonderful, expansive, incredible universe that can encompass something like I love going back to this, but a Zillow Beast episode.
Right.
And at the same time, having an episode like 5 or the end of the Clone Wars with Yoda, that whole arc there where it's really esoteric and diving deep into the mythology of the Force, the Mortis episodes, the end of season 2 for Rebels with Ahsoka and the showdown with Vader. I mean, massive moments that happen all throughout the saga, respecting that and loving that. And I think we keep saying it, but this is what's making the inauguration of Thanks Gungan so exciting, is that there's so much we have to be thankful for as Star Wars fans. And we just wanted to, on this show, express that, because I'm thankful to Kathy Kennedy and to J.J. Abrams and to Gareth Edwards and everybody else that is behind bringing Star Wars to us. Dave Filoni, huge thanks to Dave Filoni. Cast of Rebels, everybody involved. Huge shout out to say Ashley Eckstein for her work with Fangirls, you know, creating...
Right, heruniverse.com.
Her universe. You know, I mean, we have so much to be thankful for because we have incredible people behind Star Wars, behind the camera, in front of the camera, everyone else in between. That's what this show is all about, is celebrating all that we have to be thankful for and not getting down. You know, like...
Right.
That... We're here to be super positive this week, and we are usually every week.
Usually.
But that's because we have so much to be positive about, and that just excites me to no end.
And you know what? I'm going to say that one of the things that I'm very positive about is everybody that has been listening to this show. This is our inaugural year. 2016 saw aggressive negotiations burst onto the scene. And I want to say that this is a show that is born. It is born of an after recording conversation of Matt's other show, the 602 Club, over on the Trek FM network, where the two of us just realized, you know what? We should just talk about Star Wars all the time. And while we would talk about Star Wars all the time, and the only difference is that we record this, I definitely want to say thank you very deeply, on behalf of myself and on behalf of Matt, for everybody that has been listening to this show. We see the statistics. We see people interacting with the show. We are deeply grateful for everybody that has taken the time to download this show, to listen to it, to participate. The whole nine yards. It makes everything worthwhile. This is a passion project, and we do this because we know not just that we enjoy it, but that you guys are enjoying it. So thank you very, very much for that.
John, I want to say that too. Everything that John just said, ditto. Without you as the listener, this wouldn't be as much fun. John and I would still have fun, but it's great to have your interactions on Facebook and Twitter and your reviews on iTunes and all of that. And so thank you so much for embracing us, listening to us, and sharing us with other Star Wars fans. It means the world to John and I, and we can't wait to see what 2017 is going to have for us. We know we got great stuff coming up with Star Wars. We got great stuff coming up with books. You know what else I'm thankful for, John?
What's that?
We have so much to look forward to.
I am totally on board with that, Matt. I really and truly am. It's so mind-blowing that we're not just thankful for this, but we have so much coming down the pike. Years
and
of
I
Star
totally
Wars.
Forgot.
What's that?
Thrawn. Thrawn is canon.
Oh, yes, that's right. He's back. They resurrected
Thrawn. And he's got a new book coming out next year that we had to look forward
to. Oh, my gosh.
So not only is he on the show, but he's got a new book.
Yeah. You know what? It is a glorious time to be a Star Wars fan. It's ridiculously wonderful. And I'm so glad that we're all taking this journey together. So, Matt, if people want to reach out to us and let us know what they're thankful for, what's the best way that they can do for that?
John, I'd say the best place they could start is really finding us in iTunes. You find us there, our podcast, Aggressive Negotiations, of course. Look us up, subscribe. You can leave us a star rating and review. That's a great place to help us grow as we hope to be able to do that in 2017, reach more Star Wars fans. And we want to make Thanks Gungan even bigger next year, and I think we're going to have a lot to talk about then. You can also find us on thenerdparty.com. That's the main website for the network. You can find all of our other shows there, like Nerd Nuptial, The Filibuster. We have so many great new shows coming out, like Great Shot Kid, Missing Frames. I mean, the list is endless. The network is growing. The show is growing. So go over there and check that out. And we're on Twitter. At the Jedi Masters, or the network you can find at Join Nerd Party. So many different ways to find us, so many different ways to get in contact with us. John, you're no stranger to having so many ways to get in touch with you. Where can people find you?
Oh, well, gosh, Matt. Kessel Junkie, you know, look for me. I'm out there. You can also find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. You can find me co-hosting Stage 9 over on the Trek FM network with Mike Schindler. And speaking of Mike Schindler, co-hosting Great Shot Kid, exploring the works of Star Wars creators right here on the Nerd Party Network. And Matt, you know, you put me to shame in terms of places where people can find you. So why don't you take them down that litany?
Well, John, you could find me on Twitter, MattRushing02. You can also find me on the Trek FM network doing The Orb with Chris Jones talking about Deep Space Nine. I'm with a couple of guys on a show called Literary Treks talking about the books and the comics of Star Trek. We also interview the author, so that's a lot of fun. And as we mentioned quite a bit on the show, we really got to know each other over doing my show, The 602 Club, and really bonding over doing the Star Wars episodes. So you can find The 602 Club there in iTunes, as well as Star Wars, The 602 Club Collection. Two great feeds for you. It's a blast talking about all things geeky over there, or if you just like Star Wars, checking out the Star Wars feed. And John, people can do something that they'll be super thankful for to themselves if they support us by going to our sponsor at lootcrate.com/nerdparty. They can get an incredible subscription to an amazing subscription box that every month comes with brand new goodies you can't get anywhere else but Loot Crate.
That's right. And Loot Crate is a tremendous sponsor and friend of the show. And with the holiday season coming up, Thanks Gungan kicks off the holiday season. Loot Crate could be a great source for things to maybe share with loved ones, relatives, friends that you're going to go and see during this holiday season. And while you're seeing them, you can go ahead and talk to them about stories that you saw over on nerdsandbeyond.com, which is a great source for all of the nerd news. They just get right to it, and they just give it to you hot and fresh, no preamble, and you just get right to the article. So nerdsandbeyond.com is another great way to love and support this show.
Well, John, Misa thinking there's only one thing left to say. Misa thinking negotiations is closed.
Matthew, negotiations is closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.